FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and the date is September 21st, 2016. Hopefully, you've been to the new financialsurvivalnetwork.com homepage. It finally is up. We were down for a couple of days. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men. Nowhere is that true with computers. I've been in computers for, well, I hate to show my age, but since 1976. So that is 40 years. We have a saying in computers, no upgrade shall go unpunished. And I've got the welts on my back from this one to prove it. So speaking of the best laid plans of mice and men, well, if you've been watching the election, things seldom turn out the way you think that they're going to. And in my opinion, some of the best election coverage that you're going to find, it's not taking place on the mainstream media. Shock, right? You're so shocked. Rather, one person that I've been following, and he's just been putting out report after report, is a friend of mine by the name of Bill Still. And you can find him at billstill.com. Also, YouTube's all over the place. Bill's rather unique in this business. He's former newspaper editor and publisher, wrote for USA Today, Saturday Evening Post, LA Times Syndicate, and I could go on and on. He's written 22 books and a couple of documentary videos. I mean, Bill, what haven't you done? And hey, it's great to have you back on the show here.
Thanks. Nice talk, Kerry. It's great to be here.
So you kind of devoted yourself to this insane election, and it's kind of dominating your thoughts and your show. What have you learned from this whole process here, this year in particular?
Well, for people who know anything about me, I've been concerned primarily with monetary reform and macroeconomic issues, and spoken literally all over the world on the topic of monetary reform. But when the election started coming around and Trump was rumored to be willing to get into it, I start studying up on him, and the guy is really the only hope. I mean, you're not going to see Clinton. Clinton's going to be in bed with the bankers for sure and the big money, and Trump was the only hope. And as soon as he got into it, all of a sudden, I can't mention any names here, but one of his national security team, a guy who I've known for quite a while, called up and said, could you put together a 100-day implementation plan for what you see as necessary changes to the economy? And I said, sure. And a couple days later, Mr. Trump went before the Washington Post Board of Editors, and he comes out, and that's when he made that famous statement where he said, well, I can pay off the national debt in two terms of my presidency. And everybody goes, what? Impossible. This guy's insane.
That is beautiful.
All you have to do, excuse me for branching off, but in any case, Trump is the only hope. I mean, this country is going to absolutely be destroyed as we've known it in all of your and my lifetime, for sure. Just from this Muslim immigration problem. And Trump seemed to be the only answer for that, the only guy that really wanted to do something about it. And plus the fact then I got the bonus of, you know, he actually showed some basic willingness to understand where I was coming from. And it's really easy. You know, you don't have to go through any big machinations. You don't have to drastically change the economy. All you really have to do is pay off the bonds with U.S. notes or their electronic equivalents. Instead, what we're doing right now, we're living in a debt money system as a result of we make all our payments in Federal Reserve notes or their electronic equivalents. And Federal Reserve notes are literally borrowed into existence. And so that's why we have a national debt. My last book I wrote was called No More National Debt, because we don't need a national debt. It's unconstitutional to have a national debt, and it's really simple to get rid of it. And that's just as over 50% of the bonded indebtedness of the U.S. government are composed of notes and bonds But shorter term securities are called notes and bills of less than 3 years duration. So in other words, if we just took the simple step of when these bonds come due, as they come due, paying them off with U.S. notes, which is still legal tender in the United States, even though they stopped reprinting them in 1994. Now, those are the dollar bills with the red seal on them instead of the green seal on them. The green seal means they're Federal Reserve notes, and they say Federal Reserve note at the top. The red seals are U.S. notes. They say U.S. note at the top. U.S. notes have been money in the United States for much longer than Federal Reserve notes. They've been money for over 150 years. And so it would be a change that no one would notice other than there turned out to be a red seal on your dollar bills. But as far as your credit cards and your debit cards and all that stuff, it'd be exactly the same thing, but it would not come with debt attached. So therefore, over 50% of the debt, $10 trillion, is comprised of securities against the U.S. government, payable by the U.S. government, that are 3 years or less in duration. In 3 years, just by making this simple change, we could wipe out 50% of the national debt. It's so simple, it boggles the mind.
And we're not going to pay any interest on this debt. So we're paying interest to bankers. So how did we wind up in this situation? And, you know, I want to get back to the election, but just quickly, what was the purpose of this? It seems like it's just turned the entire country into debt slaves.
That's exactly right. And that was the purpose. I mean, if you had the ability, and I've used this example many times before, if you could make money, the hairs on your head. And so every time you went to the barber, there'd be a line a mile long.
How do I do
just
this?
A few clippings of your hair.
I want to do it.
That would make you a real popular guy, wouldn't it? It'd also make you a real wealthy guy.
Yeah, I'm ready to do it because I don't have that much. And if I wait much longer, Bill, man, those hairs are going to be very scarce. So the window of opportunity is rapidly closing, Bill.
it could be the hairs that grow on your chinny chin chin as well.
Or elsewhere. So we won't get into that. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So
these guys, it's just the old struggle that's gone on for centuries in historical economics between state money and bank money. Right now, we have been taken over by this bank oligarchy that has through the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 and at different times right now, every nation is under this bank monopoly of the issuance of money. And it's taken a couple hundred years to make this happen, but they're finally there. So the pendulum right now has swung to the maximum extent of the bank money system. And it's just absolutely strangling the entire world in debt, both corporate, personal, and government debt. And the problem with having this debt is not just the interest we pay. We're paying $450 billion a year on interest on this debt, an interest payment we do not have to do.
Yeah, of course.
It's as simple as that. That just goes into the banker's pocket.
It's an insanity here, Bill. So we've solved the debt problem here, and it's a scam. So you got into this electoral thing, and, you know, from what I knew about you, you were never much into politics here. But here you are. You've gotten heavily down the political rat hole. And where do you think this race stands? Do you believe the polls that it's tight, or do you believe that Hillary is literally dead man walking?
Selection B. She is, I don't want to call her a dead man, but her chances are very, very slim at this point. The MSM mainstream media is participating in basically an echo chamber of supporting her and covering up not only her faults and liabilities, but the polling scandal that's going on right now. And, you know, the monster vote is out there, and it's a it's going to be, let's say, between 10 and 20%. And even if the Democrats come up with sophisticated election fraud that detracts 3 to 5%, which is a generous estimate, I mean, Trump is still going to just completely blow her away.
So, yeah, the mainstream media, all right, we saw Hillary collapse during the 9/11 memorial ceremony, and CNN says, oh, she stumbled, and that became a meme. And yet the video of her collapsing, and it looked like she had a convulsion. Me not being a doctor, a seizure, didn't it look like a seizure to you? And yet it was a stumble. So they have bet everything on this person who looks like she's ready to drop any minute. I mean, there are, you know, now there's things out there. She's using a body double. I mean, these are the things that happen when you keep everything secret and you don't tell the truth. People start speculating, perhaps aimlessly or facetiously, if you will. And, you know, what's going to be left to the mainstream media after this, Bill, if she gets soundly defeated? Well,
personally, I hope they keep on going the same way, because it's certainly given me and you an opening.
Yeah. Well, if there was a mainstream media that was honest and reported diligently and all of that, they wouldn't need us, I guess, right?
Well, right. Then they'd be just like us, except they'd be empowered by corporations that could lavish tens of millions of dollars on making their show the best. And that would just be impregnable for somebody like us.
Yeah. the insanity of it. So hey, you got tens of thousands of people watching what you do, and everybody in the blogosphere knows who you are. When you were writing for the mainstream media, you ever envision something like this occurring in your life?
No, because it was too heavily populated with really skillful reporters back when I came in. And so, you know, I'm not saying they were the maximum truth tellers or anything like that, but I mean, there was at least some sense of dignity, you know, upholding the truth being a reporter. I mean, now it's just completely blown away.
Yeah. So what is journalism now? I mean, what has it devolved into? Is it just a branch of the government, just pure propaganda?
Oh, that would be an exaggeration to say that. There's still people out there trying, but it's just who gets the big megaphone. Only the people that are going to, you know, toe to the corporate line are going to get the big megaphone. And that's what's sad about the whole thing. There are thousands of guys out there trying to still do good reporting. And it's just, you know, they don't get placement. They don't get with the right papers. They don't get with the right TV shows or radio shows. And so, you know, just it's not an impregnable wall of conspiracy over which we can never climb. It just looks that way right now. And they try to make themselves look impregnable, but they're really not. They're about to collapse, and they're going to suffer their worst defeat in history in about 50 days from now.
And you know, what they've done to Trump, and in the interest of disclosure, in my former life as an attorney, handled a couple of minor matters for him, hung out with him for a couple of hours. And the guy is not an idiot. He's not a buffoon. Yeah. Hey, narcissistic, we'll give you that. You know, interesting guy, quick mind, funny as hell, profane, great sense of humor. All things that you would want in a leader, perhaps, maybe not the narcissism, maybe tended to surround himself a little bit too much with yes men, but he didn't always take their word for everything either. But an interesting person, and definitely knows how to negotiate a deal, which he's very adept at letting us know. What's the objectionable part of this guy compared to what we've had for the past 30 years?
Nothing. He's the man of the hour. I mean, we need somebody to go in and kick butt. We don't need some wallflower who merely wants to further his political objectives. And it just takes a guy like Trump, where he doesn't mind being shut out on one aspect of his business because of his political stance or whatever. He just tells them, you know, get lost. I'm doing what's in the best interest of the American people. And we so need a guy. We always hear people saying that, but nobody has come through in years and years and years. And I believe Trump is finally going. He is the man who's going to save America.
Well, from your mouth to God's ear. And, you know, like one thing I believe that you can tell a lot about somebody by their children. Right. You raise kids, there's nothing harder in this world than raising children, especially children in a well-off home where the father is out there doing a lot of stuff, business, traveling constantly, and his children are pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, and grew up with rich kids. I grew up in Northern Virginia and horse country, and grew up, and they're all addicted to coke and stuff like that because they've all got money.
Yeah.
So for Trump's kids to come out like that is just really amazing because, you know, if your parenting style is, well, I'm going to crack the whip on these kids, half of them are going to rebel and do just the opposite. Somehow Trump pulled this off. And I raised four kids myself. And so I know what the problem is. And my kids turned out well and Trump's kids turned out well. And so.
Yeah, I raised three on my own, single father. And honestly, I had doubts, but knock on wood, they all are productive, self-sufficient, and, you know, must have been the right gene pool or something, because I really didn't know what the hell I was doing half the time. They don't come with instruction manuals, so that is the...
No, but yeah, you know what it is, like when they finally get a nice, secure job, you know they've flown the coop, and they aren't going to be relying on your money anymore.
Oh, God,
it's just a wonderful feeling that, you know, somehow this actually worked.
Hey, and just one other thing, so... We saw the press conference last week at the Trump National Hotel in D.C. in the old post office, and he totally punked the media there. He had them set up, and he just destroyed them, and they were so angry. And, I mean, was that the most brilliant media ploy of all time? If you hadn't seen it, let me just lay it out. So Trump says, I'm going to put the birther issue to rest for all time. He sets up a press conference at the new Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. that's quite magnificent. And then the day of, he says, I'm canceling it. It's going to be an event and it's going to be an hour later. And the idiot news media says, okay, we'll be there. And then the event comes and he's showing off the hotel and he's got all these former military people endorsing him. And it goes on and on. And then he gets up on the stage and he says, I'm putting it to rest once and for all. President Obama was born in the United States, period. Let's get on with the business of making America great again. And they freaked. I mean, was that the best? Was that great?
A little detail on the military aspect. There are only 77 living Medal of Honor winners, and at least 13 of them were part of that military group.
Yeah, I mean, and they were so angry that they got suckered. I mean, insane, right? I mean, hey, they let themselves be suckered. You know, no one had a gun to their head that said, you got to cover this. And yet they did it, right?
Right. I grew up in the D.C. metro area, and the my very favorite building, the first place I would take any visitor was the old post office building, because you could get up in the tower, and it was the highest open air place in the whole city. You could go up in the top of the Washington Monument, but you're looking through, you know, like a little teeny window, like you're looking out of a submarine periscope or something like that. But the old post office building had a bell tower, and you can, as you you go up to the top, you can see how the bells are all arranged and all that stuff. And it was a completely open air view of the city, and it was just spectacular. I hope Trump maintained that, didn't glass it all in or something. I'm sure he did, and he usually does the right thing.
Yeah. So predictions, you think it's Trump's carrying it away unless something really unpredictable happens here?
Well, the unpredictability happens next Monday, basically, with that first debate. Clinton is putting an extraordinary amount of study time, and these guys are the absolute masters of trickery and deceit. And if there's any way they can trick the Trump, they are going to try to do it. So that's what I'm worried about. You know, I'm overly worried because so much rides on this. I mean, literally, the 2,500-year history of the rule of law in Western civilization, nothing less than that entire package is what's at stake here.
Yeah, and totally correct. And we didn't even talk about what's happening in North Carolina right now and the meme there and playing the race card to try to derail his campaign. But we'll save that for another day. Anyway, Bill, best place to find you on the web, your YouTube channel, your website?
Website is billstill.com, BILLSTILL.com. And there are links to the YouTube channel from there, but the YouTube channel is B Still and the numeral 3.
Excellent. And hey, we look forward to having you on again. Thanks so much. And hey, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.